This month, he offers his personal best lists. It's a list a day for the month of July, and I think the movies are numbering into the thousands. So let's say hello to Jason Fraley, the king of list makers. Jason, tell us about this WTOP project.
Hey, Arch, Jen, Lou. It's a project where, you know, we've all been sitting around during quarantine with plenty of time on our hands. Movie theaters are still not open. Every time they say that, you know, Tenet or Mulan or whatever the big tent poles are, whenever they say they're going to reopen, they keep kicking the can back, as they should, in my opinion. But anyway, so yeah, I've been thinking, I had all this free time and I thought, you know what, I'm going to revisit this best movies project that I did a couple years ago, where we ranked every best movies in every genre, but I expanded it this year, added some more movies in there. Basically some movies that I hadn't seen even back then, a couple new documentaries, a couple new foreign films, and even tinkered with the added some other movies that maybe I thought I left out last time. Like, oh my God, Jen, I didn't even have Clueless in there last time. You wrote the book on it. I got a bunch of stuff in there that maybe hadn't been in there before, as well as some other stuff like Parasite that hadn't even been out yet when we made.
Now, wait a minute. Jen wants to defend Clueless.
Well, he added it, you know. I mean, he obviously did the right thing.
He came to his senses. Well, part of it, too, was last time I think we had like 25 in each genre, and my crazy self decided, let's go 30 in each genre. We'll do 30 days, 30 movies, 30 genres.
So now, 30 different genres. Tell us some of the genres.
Oh, so, yeah, most people are like, are there even 30 genres? But, it's action, adventure, animation, biopic, comedy, coming of age. So I added a couple little other ones in there. Courtroom, crime, documentary, drama, epic, family comedy, family drama, fantasy, film noir, gangster, horror, musical, mystery. Then I have politics and media. That's an interesting one with all the president's men's and that. Ooh. I had prison, so we get a little separate one. One for, you know, Shawshank, Cool Hand Luke.
What's
and the
your favorite prison movie?
I have the Shawshank Redemption as number one.
Of course.
One. Yeah. Well, it's funny when you start netting these out, you're like, well, wait a minute, I can fit more movies if I slide, you know, if I have a whole separate category for your, you know, your Cool Hand Luke's, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, all those, you know, chain gang type stuff too. It adds up quickly. Then we had romance, rom-com, sci-fi. Then I had showbiz, which, you know, you get Sunset Boulevard, All About Eve, all that jazz, that kind of stuff. Silent movies, sports, thrillers, war, and Western. So there's your 30.
Because you're here, I think you should ask Jen and me what our favorite movies are of these various genres and then compare notes. So I'm gonna turn over the moderator's post to you to quiz Jen and me and Lou.
Looks like Jen is raising her hand now.
We have a question in the audience from Jen.
Oh, go for it.
So you addressed this in the project, but obviously when you have this many genres, there's some overlap between them. Were there certain movies that you had a harder time than others figuring out exactly which genre to place them in?
Great, great question. So yes, we sort of set ourselves a rule here where you could, or each movie could only be in one genre. Mostly, obviously, just an, you know, excuse to fit more my favorite movies, but also so there wasn't, you know, you click three different genres and you see the same movie, you know, there wasn't repeat entries. So yeah, like, for instance, you know, The Matrix, do you put that in sci-fi or action? It had that great, you know, wirefu bullet time slow-mo action, but I ultimately put it in sci-fi because of its, you know, red pill, blue pill philosophy stuff. But Shadows on the Cave, Plato stuff. But you know what I mean? Like it's, or The Terminator, is that action or sci-fi? There's a lot of ones that were totally crossover. Wizard of Oz, is that fantasy or musical? We put it in number one of my musicals. So a lot of these could go either way, but we also made a rule that for each franchise, it would only be represented once on the list. So, you know, you wouldn't have a million different Avengers movies. You'd have them all as one combined entry, sort of as it's in its totality, or you wouldn't have a million Rockies/Creed. It would just be one entry.
Mm-hmm. You be the moderator. You pitch us some questions.
All right. What would you guys do? You want to go through all of them or just jump around?
You jump around.
All right. What would you say your favorite? What's your number one horror movie?
Oh, now Jen and I had this the other day.
Yeah, we did.
And Jen, you go first.
Well, I'm cheating by picking two, my two favorites are the original Halloween and Poltergeist.
Nice.
Louis, what's your favorite horror movie?
I normally don't like horror movies at all, but this one and it's probably that crossover between horror and sci-fi, but Alien, where that thing jumps out of that guy's chest and goes, that's it. I was at the Uptown when I saw it, and I walked out.
Even if you didn't see the whole movie,
there was enough of it. I saw enough of it.
And didn't they say that Ridley Scott didn't tell the cast that that was about to happen? So those were real reactions, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That was John Hurt, who was a great Shakespearean actor, and he had this thing crawling out, bursting out of his stomach.
It looked like it hurt.
Yes. My favorite horror movie is the original 1932 version of The Mummy with Boris Karloff and Zita Yoha as his soulmate, who has traveled through time, and she's this woman in modern day Cairo, and he believes that she's the princess Ananka or whatever, and that if he sacrifices her, they'll be lovers forever. And something about the original Mummy just really appeals to me.
Nice. Yeah, you've been singing the Mummy's praises for years, Arch. And Jen, I like your pick too. It's like we're at Panera with the pick two, but I went with Hitchcock's Psycho. I think it not only invented the slasher movie, but so much symbolism, the way he directs it with, you know, all the double images and the opening credits splitting apart, like, you know, like Norman Bates' split personality. You know, as I sat and looked at it and decided what would I even put above Psycho, I thought, you know what, I think it's a pretty perfect horror movie. So I went with that number one.
I was at a thing where we were supposed to pick the 10 best movies of the 60s, and one of them I picked was Psycho, and we were supposed to show a scene, and so I showed the second scariest scene from Psycho, because everybody's seen the shower scene, and that was where Arbogast goes into the house and starts up the stairs. There's these shots of his shoe on the stairs and the creak of the stairs, and the audience was just screaming. They were half laughing and half just terrified with that scene. And then, of course, the psycho comes down and stabs him, and he falls down the stairs. So that's a good pick. Throw us another one.
Comedy.
Wow. Jen.
It's hard, isn't it?
I don't even know how to answer that.
Wow. Because they change so much over time. And some things aren't funny now that were hilarious then. I'm going to go, because of its time, with the original version of The Producers.
Oh, hilarious.
Which they did not want to release because it pushed the envelope so much. And Gene Hackman and Zero Mostel were just... I think it was also the original Buddy movie, but I'm going to go with the original version of The Producers. Again, seeing it in the late 60s, and people were just screaming in the theater because it so pushed the envelope. Lou, what about you?
Well, I think I'm more modern when it comes to my choices for comedies. For me, it's a tie, guys, between Anchorman, the original, and The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
They were hilarious.
I think I might have to say, and obviously this answer will change in like 10 minutes, but I think I would have to say Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Everything you guys are picking are hilarious. It's funny, Ferris Bueller, I actually had that in my coming of age list. So ironically, not on this one. And in the producers I have in my showbiz list. So, but also hilarious. I was just watching that clip the other day where Zero Mostel was trying to contain Gene Wilder. And he's like, I'm hysterical. I'm wet. And I'm still, I'm in pain and I'm wet. And I'm still hysterical. And then, yeah, and then Lou, man, 40-year-old virgin. I remember that came out the same summer as Wedding Crashers, and I was in college, so it was perfect. All the guys went, and it was back-to-back, like, two of the best comedies of all time came out that same summer, and that chest-waxing scene with blah, blah, Kelly Clarkson. I think it's just so hilarious. And that was, I think, like, right when Carell was starting The Office, too. I think it was right at the cusp of all that. So it was Judd Apatow at his finest, and so many people launched in that movie.
Well, and the way the 40-year-old version got on the other side of things. I mean, you know, most people were so active, and here is this guy who never had sex, and the payoff is delightful and hilarious.
The dawning of the age of Aquarius.
All right, Jason, it's only fair. What is your favorite comedy?
I was wondering whether I should do Caddyshack or Airplane or Duck Soup and then Some Like It Hot. They're all in my top five. But wow. I ultimately went with Blazing Saddles. And I know it's sort of controversial, you know, in terms of, you know, you know, things change over time. You definitely couldn't make it today, but it was co-written by Richard Pryor and Mel Brooks. And I actually thought it was, you know, even maybe the more controversial part, I think they're a commentary on it all. So I thought Cleavon Little and Gene Wilder and Harvey Korman and Madeline Kahn and Slim Pickens. I mean, I just was sitting thinking, what Mel Brooks movie would I pick? And I just thought that was just so crazy, gutsy, hilarious for its time. So that's what I picked.
So throw us one last genre, and then we're going to ask you a couple of things.
All right. What did you put for science fiction?
Jim?
That's an easy one for me. It's E.T.
Mm. Oh, I love E.T.
Oh.
And why would you say that, Jim? Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could be coming, like you said, Jason, it could be coming of age. It could be sci-fi. It could be drama. But the two most formative movies of my childhood were The Wizard of Oz and E.T. And those two movies kind of go hand in hand. There was a New Yorker piece years ago that Anthony Lane wrote about those two movies and how they're kind of commentaries on each other that was really beautiful. But that, I mean, E.T. made me want to, like, kind of made me want to do what I do, really.
Wow. Yeah, I'm tearing up thinking about that I'll be right here moment at the end. It gets me every time. The most immortal kids movie ever made, I think.
Louis?
I got to side with Jen. I think E.T.'s just a wonderful classic.
I'm thinking of the Twilight Zone movie they made, and I'm thinking of the segment where John Lithgow is on an airplane and the little gremlin is riding out on the wing. And for some reason, that's coming to my mind.
That's what's so hard. Like that really, to me, feels like it's hard.
Yeah, because it's not a complete movie. Science fiction, I'm going to go with The Exorcist, although it's horror, but and people might not. That's what's coming to my mind. So, and in 10 minutes, I'm going to think of a better example.
No one has said Star Wars. What's happening?
Yeah, I have E.T. and Star Wars very high and Back to the Future very high. And, you know, Star Wars is an interesting one because that's, I think the debate has raged between fans forever of, is it sci-fi or is it fantasy? Because there's so many fantasy elements with the other world building. But I put it in sci-fi. I think most people would. I think the AFI even had it.
I don't know if I would think of Back to the Future as sci-fi necessarily. Hmm. That's interesting.
I mean, it's time travel. It's, yeah, but then you got like the family elements too. Yeah, I love, God, Back to the Future is so good. But yeah, ultimately, number one, I went with 2001 A Space Odyssey. I just thought that maybe one of the most ambitious movies ever.
And not only that, but it still plays today. I mean, it has become, to me, very timeless. I watched it again recently, and the futuristic stuff he put in there, like, you know, they fly to the space, to the moon on Pan American. You know, would be Southwest Airlines now, but
there would be no airlines now. You're not allowed to get on a plane.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I think they predicted the idea of like video conferencing, like, you know, like we're doing now, or, you know, and just the idea of, I mean, like what you're saying, it was all shot so photo. It was, they went for photorealistic images with miniature models and stuff. It wasn't like the latest, you know, cheesy special effects of the day, because that will date, you know, the original War of the Worlds, right. While I have it on the list, is lower because it's sort of dated when you look at it now. But 2001, you look at it today and it looks like an actual photograph in the entire thing. And just the ambition of trying to chart mankind's evolution from, you know, the first, you know, primitive man throwing a bone up into the air, the dawn of man, cut to the spaceship in space, and then trying to chart where we go from there. I mean, maybe the Tree of Life tried to do that big scale of a thing, but I can't think of another movie that tried to, you know, capture such a giant idea. And I still don't know what the ending means, but it's still mind-blowing.
Well, it sounds like this could be an entire book, and we could spend weeks going through this stuff, and it's a great exercise, and it's on your website at WTOP and on the radio station.
If you just Google, you know, WTOP best movies of all time, I'm sure it'll pop up. And yeah, I mean,
you should put this together as a book. Would you ever?
Yeah, that would be, I would love to. That would be.
Are you busy these days?
Yeah,
quarantine. Before we wrap up with you, what are you watching? Now that, you know, nobody's been to, somebody the other day asked me, what was the last movie you saw? And I think it was Emma. And, you know, what are you watching? What are you doing now with no movies?
Yeah, I think the last movie I went to was back in like March. So yeah, it's been a long time, but we're still reviewing stuff, obviously, as Jen knows on WTOP. She's hard at work at that too. But these days, I mean, the thing everyone's talking about now is, you know, the Hamilton streaming on Disney Plus. I didn't get to see it on Broadway, sadly, because I didn't have, you know, $1,000 a ticket at my disposal. But I saw it at the Kennedy Center with the national tour cast. But this, the treat of this is getting to see it with the original cast. You know, Lin-Manuel Miranda in the lead, Leslie Odom Jr. As Aaron Burr, and I thought Daveed Diggs stealing the show as like a cocky Thomas Jefferson, I think is hilarious. But yeah, I mean, I think the idea of, especially with everything that's going on in the country right now with race relations, I think that a movie arriving now, they couldn't have picked a better time for it. What else am I watching? Oh, I just started the new Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. There's a Baltimore case in the first episode. Robert Stack is, you know, obviously no longer with us, so he can't host it, but the same creepy music, the dun 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 dun. And what else? Oh, I really liked Quiz on AMC, the British Who Wants to Be a Millionaire scandal. It reminded me of, you know, Quiz Show, which I still think is one of the underrated movies of all time. I think that's Robert Redford just knocked that out of the park. So Quiz on AMC, I'd recommend that.
Well, Jason, it's always fun talking to you, and it's always kind of mind-bending too, and your 900 movies for the month of July has my head spinning, but in a good way. This is good.
Yeah, it's got my head spinning too. Man, we keep talking about The Exorcist. So there you go. Heads are spinning.